Uncle Xander Kent and his wife. My father kept them in the crypts, even though the Lightspire priests told him not to. In retrospect, that was a pretty big red flag.
Shit, Jax whispered.
You hear about history and war and all that, but it doesn't feel real until you see it up close.
He couldn't look away from that screaming face, and I couldn't either. Who had he been? A soldier? A spy? Just some poor dumb kid in the wrong place at the wrong time? I wish it stayed in the history books, I said. I couldn't decide what felt more wrong, leaving that boy's face howling at the sky, or covering it back up with mud. Jax was quiet for a while, and when he finally spoke, he spoke softly, hesitantly, unlike himself.
Tilla, do you ever think we're maybe on the wrong side of this thing?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying.
He looked up the river, his gaze distant.
I know we didn't have a choice in how it went down, and we're doing what we have to save our skins. But pretend we weren't. Pretend we never went to that beach, and we were still happily living in Castle Waverly when this new war broke out. Wouldn't we think your dad was doing the right thing? Wouldn't we be rooting for the West and our families and our people? Wouldn't we want them to win instead of...
He looked back down at the young man's frozen face.
Instead of this?
It was a hell of a question from Jax. It was too much of a question for me. When we'd been back on the other end of the province, when the idea of surviving had seemed like a desperate delusion, it had been easy to avoid thinking about the consequences of our actions. But here, this close, those thoughts came flooding in, and I felt my chest tighten with worry. I felt so trapped and powerless, just a little wooden pawn in some giant's game, unable to understand the board, unable to predict anything. We weren't just saving ourselves. If we did this, exposed my father's plan, we'd be making history and scoring a major win for Lightspire. We'd be giving in to the king and his mages. We'd be dooming the dream of a new Western kingdom, maybe even causing Lightspire to tighten its grip on my province. We might be adding a lot more statues to the Castle Waverly crypts. And what would I be? A hero in Lightspire according to Lyrianna? But out here? I'd be the girl who destroyed the Kent legacy, who screwed over her family and her province. I'd be the bastard to end all bastards. Even after everything my father had done to me, from ignoring me for most of my life to putting a price on my head, that still made me feel so guilty. Why did it have to make me feel so guilty? Tears burned my eyes and I looked down.
Hey, Jack said, and he reached out to take my arm. I'm sorry. That was a totally bullshit question. I shouldn't have asked it.
No. It was a good question. That's why I'm upset. I turned to look up at Jax, at his big, trusting eyes, his goofy, messy hair, his eager smile. And I remembered why I was out here in the first place. I don't know if we're on the right side. I don't know if there even is a right side. All I know is I'm not going to let you or Lyrianna or Zell or Miles get hurt. That's all I care about now. That's all I can care about. Everything else, we'll just have to figure it out as it comes. Jax gave me a hug, one of his big bear hugs where he wrapped me up in his brawny arms and pulled me up off my feet.
I love you, sis, he said. You're right. We just gotta get to Lightspire, and then it's all fluffy beds and carafes of wine and making out in hot springs.
Any other day, that would have made me feel better. But today it just left me cold. Come on, I said, turning my back on Jax and that terrible, frozen, screaming face. This kindling isn't going to gather itself. Chapter 22. There was only one thing that I knew would make me feel better, and that was some alone time with Zell. Riding this hard left less time to practice, and my aching thighs deeply resented anything resembling movement. But I insisted. I had to. I left Jax in the camp with Miles and Liriana, and went off into the woods with Zell to try to squeeze in one good hour of training. The grove we'd settled into didn't have a lot of room to move around, so we were focused on close-quarters combat. Zell and I stood between two birches, and again he threw jabs at my raised forearms while I blocked and dodged them. Well, most of them, anyway. "Let me ask you something." I bounced on my feet, my face slick with sweat, my breath hard and fast. "As fun as it is getting bruised all day, when do I learn how to actually hit someone?" Zell punched with his right fist, and I blocked it with my left forearm. He'd wrapped thick cloth around his night-glass knuckles, dulling their edge, but it still hurt like hell.
"The Killzone is the art of deflection, of using your enemy's strength against him. You are not the river. You merely change where it flows."
Another right hook, another left block. "So, I don't get to hit anyone?" Zell feigned a third right, but instead threw a left jab. I jerked to the side and felt it streak past me.
"If you wanted to learn to hit, you should have studied Carfel," he said. "I'm sure my brother would have loved to train you."
"Something tells me he's not the most gracious teacher," I replied. Zell lunged forward and spun, hurling his elbow at the side of my head, but I wove under it, grabbed his wrist, and pulled his arm up tight behind his back, just like he'd taught me. He grunted, and I jerked him back and held him in place, my chest pressed to his back, my heart pounding against his. We stayed like that longer than we had to, and I think we both knew that we should probably break away, but neither of us did. There was something intoxicating about pinning him in place, about knowing that he wanted this. I leaned forward with a grin, my cheek against his, my lips almost touching his ear. "Gotcha," I whispered, and let him go. He hopped away, flexing his arm.
"You learn quickly. I think you're a natural warrior."
That might just be the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me. I leaned back against a tree, feeling the warm sun as I craned my head up at the sky. "You think I would have made a good Zatochi?"
"No, actually. Zatochi women are forbidden from being warriors. It is considered too low, too dangerous. They must be scholars, healers, crafters, Zantaren. For a man to teach a woman our ways of fighting is a violation of our oldest laws."
"But you trained me."
"So he did,"
Zell said, as if he himself was a little surprised by it.
"There is a legend, one my mother would tell me often. It is not secret, exactly, but not commonly told. It's about a Zatochi girl, Ralia of Clan Helgen, who dressed as a man to become a warrior and avenge the death of her father. It was my mother's favorite."
He cocked his head to the side.
"You remind me of Ralia. Rebellious, determined, stubborn."
He smiled just a little bit at the thought, and I felt my pulse quicken. There was a sweetness to his smile, an odd rustiness, as though it were something he did very rarely and had forgotten how. I'd been seeing more and more of that smile over the last few days. "That's why you've been training me? Because I remind you of Ralia?" His smile vanished as quickly as it had come.
"No, I'm training you because I don't want to see you dead."
"Oh," I said. "Well, that was a conversation killer." I tried to salvage it. "Will you keep training me when we're safe? When we get to Lightspire, I mean. Because I want to keep learning." I'd assumed that would be an easy yes, but Zell didn't reply. I looked over to find a serious look on his face.
"Tila,"
he said softly.
"I'm not staying in Lightspire."
"What?"
"I'm not staying," he repeated. "I'm not like you. I'm not some southern castle rat who grew up dreaming of your precious king and his fancy city. I don't belong there."
"Well, none of us do," I said, trying to hide my shock.
I knew I was maybe overdoing it with the fantasies of Zell and me as Lightspire's hottest couple. I knew it might not work, and then we'd just be friends. But it had never occurred to me that he wouldn't be staying at all. That thought hurt me more than every bruise and scrape combined.
It'll be okay. We'll learn. Liriana will make sure we're taken care of and that we settle in.
I don't want to be taken care of. I don't want to settle in. That's not who I am.
So what will you do? I demanded, maybe more angrily than I should have.
There will be a war.
His voice was hard, cold, not a hint of emotion.
Once your king learns the truth, he will send his armies after your father. And mine.
So? What do you care?
What do I care?
Zell asked, his voice stinging with insult.
When my father accepted the mantle of chief of clans, he swore a vow to put the good of our people above all. Instead, he has betrayed our people and brought a storm to our lands the likes of which we have never faced. He has sullied the name of Clan Gull. He has destroyed his honor and mine.
And what are you going to do about that?
I have heard of mercenary companies that will take anyone, even a Zitochi, provided they can fight. Perhaps they will take me,
Zell said.
Perhaps I can still fight and die for my clan, for my people.
You would do that? I couldn't even believe what I was hearing. All this time we'd been running from our parents, from death and chaos, and Zell would just ride right back into it? He would choose to kill? Why?
Why not?
He turned away from me with a shrug, and holy shit did that shrug piss me off.
I'm a killer. That's what I do.
Oh, come on!
I practically shouted back, and when he didn't turn around, I stepped up to him and grabbed his shoulder.
Everything we're doing, everything we've done, has been to stop a war, to end the killing. That's what this is all about.
He stood firm, not even turning enough so that I could see his face.
Maybe for you, Tilla, but you don't know me.
I know you're not just a killer like your brother. I know you wouldn't hurt innocent people.
That must have struck a nerve, because he spun around, throwing my hand aside, and his eyebrows were furrowed deep with anger.
Don't you talk to me about innocent people, he snapped. You have no idea, no idea, what I've done, what I've lived, what my mercy and my weakness have led to.
You're right, I don't know, I yelled back. I have no idea what the hell has happened in your life, because you don't share it. But I know you're not just some brutal mercenary who thinks mercy is weakness. I know you could be happy in Lightspire.
Zell shook his head, livid.
Oh, I could be happy. You really think that little of me, don't you?
That little?
You think because I showed you some kindness, I'm suddenly some weak-kneed castle rat poet ready to spend his life sprawled out on a bed, sucking down wine and ordering around his servants?
He stepped toward me and I jerked back.
You think I'll just change who I am? Throw away my culture and beliefs and my whole way of life just because yours are so superior?
No, I
stammered, still pissed but also a little stung at the truth of his words.
I just mean...
I'm a Zitochi.
He took another step toward me, and I stepped away again, my back now pressed against the rough bark of a tree trunk.
I'm a warrior. I fight for Clan Gull, for Zalcorso, for the 12 and their children and the Grey Father above.
He leaned in over me, and his eyes were wide with passion.
This is who I am, Tilla. This is who I will always be, who I should be. So tell me, why would I be happy in Lightspire?
Because you'd be with me,
I shouted. He froze. His eyes were still blazing with fury, his breath ragged, but there was a spark of something else as he stared at me. He let out a long, sharp exhale and hung there, his face almost touching mine, so close I could see the pulse fluttering in his throat.
With you,
he repeated, tasting the words, tasting the thought. I reached up with one trembling hand and ran it along his face, down his cheek. And oh, Titans above, did it feel good to touch him.
Zell, I...
Both of you freeze!
A voice barked from behind us, and it sure as hell wasn't Jax's. I spun around to see a young man, maybe 25 years old, standing in the glade behind us. He had dark skin like a Heartlander's, and his hair was cut short in neat black curls around his head. He was dressed like a soldier, with brown leather straps binding a silver breastplate over his chest.
Oh, and he was pointing a crossbow right at us.
Zell froze instantly, any expression vanishing from his face, his eyes narrowing into hard, predatory slits. My mind raced, my fingers twitched, my hand drifted toward the dagger at my hilt.
"Don't even think about it, girl," the soldier said. "And you, Zatochi, raise your hands over your head."
Zell didn't say anything, but slowly lifted his hands, open-palmed in the air. It was all happening so fast. Just like that, after everything we'd been through. We'd been made, and so close to safety, too. Also, and this was arguably less important, I had been about to kiss Zell. I looked around for any sign of Jax or Miles or Lyriana, but they must have been back at the camp. Shit! 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 I glanced at Zell for any help, and in one fluid motion, faster than I could blink, he whipped his sword out of the sheath on his back and hurled it at the soldier. It whistled through the air in a glistening spiral, aimed like a missile at the young man's head. The man jerked his crossbow up just in time, and the blade hit the device right in the middle, knocking it out of his hands in a spray of wooden splinters and twanging string. Somehow, Zell was already halfway across the glade, bounding over it like a cat. Steel shimmered in his other hand as he drew his dagger from the sheath at his hip. He plunged it at the soldier's neck, but it struck metal instead, with a resounding clang. The soldier had whipped his own dagger out, a long, curved blade with a gold lining around the edge, and a little dip at the end like a forked tongue. The two of them moved in a dizzying blur of motion, blades slicing through the air and striking only each other, sparks flashing as they slashed and parried. The soldier's style was different from Zell's, choppier and harder, but it seemed to be working, or at least holding him off. As Zell lunged for a strike, the soldier caught the Zatochi's knife with his, trapping the blade in that little forked tongue. The two slammed against a tree, knives locked together, nostrils flaring, eyes furious, just inches away from the dagger's blades.
"Stop!"
Lyriana screamed from behind me.
"Stop this at once!"
The reaction was immediate. The soldier let go of his knife and dropped down to one knee, so fast that Zell tripped over him.
"Your Majesty!"
he gasped. Zell spun around, incredulous, his dagger still drawn.
"You know this man?"
he demanded. Lyriana was standing at the edge of the grove, flanked by Miles and Jax. The two boys looked as worried and confused as I felt, but Lyriana was smiling.
"Of course," she said. "Rise to your feet, Lord Reza."
If I'd been drinking, I would have done the world's biggest spit take. This was Lord Reza? Lord Galen Reza? The man we'd journeyed across the province to see? The man who'd keep us safe? He rose to his feet, his head bowed low. Now, without his crossbow aimed at my head, I could get a better look at him. Or at least look at him without panicking. I'd known Lord Reza was among the youngest lords in the West, inheriting the title from his father, who died in a hunting accident the year before, though I hadn't expected him to look quite so young. Still, I could tell now he wasn't the average soldier, even from the Heartlands. His features were smooth, elegant, aristocratic, with sharp cheekbones and a jaw you could slice an apple with. His eyes lacked the telltale glow of the Valeris family, but they still radiated a cunning intelligence.
"You're alive,"
he said.
"I am," Lyriana nodded. "It's quite the story."
Jax stepped up alongside Lyriana, blocking her with one protective arm.
"So, you're the fancy-pants lord of the border?"
he asked.
What are you doing out here alone in the woods? I'd heard reports of a suspicious party entering my lands, so I rode out with a group of scouts to investigate. The rest are combing the woods down by the river.
Galen Reza's eyes flitted to Jax, to Zell.
Your Majesty, are these people your captors?
What? No, she exclaimed. These are my friends. They...
Her voice choked up.
They saved my life. They protected me from Lord Kent. They're the only reason I'm here.
Then it seems the kingdom owes them a great debt,
Galen said.
Don't worry. They're safe with me.
His eyes flitted to Zell, who was still clenching his blade.
Even you, Zatochi, who I almost beat, in your wildest dreams,
Zell said, but he sheathed his blade. Safe. Galen had said we'd be safe. I heard the word, but I couldn't believe it. I willed my legs to move, but they held rooted in place. Was this actually happening? Was our ordeal over? Could we possibly, actually, be safe?
Oh, wow, Miles said, his voice 1,000 miles away.
Jax let out a sharp exhale. This felt impossible. My knees were trembling, my head was spinning. Galen looked us all over, nodding to himself.
I recognize you all, from the whisper. The Zatochi, the stable hand, Lady Hampstead's boy.
He turned to me.
And you, Lord Kent's bastard.
I bowed my head. My lord. His eyes narrowed even further.
Your father is responsible for this.
I felt a terrible weight press down on me. He was, I said. He is. Galen's mouth twisted into a hard frown, and his thin eyebrows formed a sharp V.
Then it was all a lie, wasn't it? The poster, the bounty, all of it. He was trying to cover up his crime. He killed the Archmagus, not the Zatochi.
He did,
Jack said, sparing me from having to answer.
Son of a bitch,
Galen whispered.
Titan's breath. That lunatic wants a second great war.
But we'll stop him, Lyrianna said. Won't we?
Galen didn't answer.
We have to go,
he said.
Now. I have a carriage 1 mile from here. Let's hurry there and get you out of sight, away from Kent's eyes.
Kent's eyes? I asked.
His advanced scouts,
Galen said, then clicked his tongue.
Oh, I see. You don't know, do you?
Know what?
He looked past us down the road, and I hated to admit it, but he actually looked worried.
Lord Kent rides east to meet the mages himself. He's 2 days away at most, and he brings with him a host of soldiers, 10,000 strong.
A cold dread set over me like a familiar cloak. No, we weren't safe. We weren't safe at all.
Chapter 23 I'd only been in a carriage once before, years ago, when my father and I had visited Bridgetown and Lord Collinwood had given us a tour of his ample vineyards. That carriage had probably been nicer than Lord Reza's, but I didn't care. At that moment, the padded cushioned seat was the most amazing thing I'd ever felt. When I first slumped down into it, my aching thighs had practically melted with relief. I didn't even care that the ride was bumpy or that the whole thing smelled like leather and smoke. I was on a pillow, a real pillow, and I wanted to cry. Who knew you could miss pillows that much? The carriage was packed tight. Me, Zell, and Jax sat on one bench, crammed shoulder to shoulder with Lyrianna, Miles, and Galen opposite us. There was something incredibly awkward about sitting this close to Zell, especially given the total lack of resolution we'd had from our moment in the woods. But I forced those thoughts aside. Lyrianna and Galen did most of the talking. She told him our whole story in possibly too much detail, from how we'd snuck out of the castle to our close call in Bridgetown. Galen listened intently, his grave expression breaking only for an occasional profane mutter under his breath. I tried to remember everything I knew about him.
I knew that his family had been some hoity-toity Lightspire nobles who'd been granted the lands of the pass as a reward for their actions in the Great War. These lands weren't particularly vast, but they included the Nest, one of the oldest castles in the province, and Pioneer's Pass, the narrow valley through the Frostkiss Mountains. The other lords of the West had distrusted the Rezzes as outsiders, and had been sure the new young lord would be in over his head. Looking at the serious and, okay, pretty hot, young man in the carriage opposite me, I realized they were half right. Galen was a Heartlander through and through, with his soft skin and elegant features. He looked nothing like the grizzled, bearded men who'd lined the tables in our great hall. But he had an intensity about him, a calculating air, like at any given moment there were a half dozen schemes cranking about in his head.
"Titan's breath," he grumbled
when Lyriana finished, rubbing the bridge of his nose with one hand.
"This is one hell of a mess. I've got three companies of the Knights of Lazan riding up from the east. I've got Lord Kent and his entire damn army riding down from the west. And then I've got an entire camp of Sisters of Kaia begging me to come meet with them."
"What?" Lyriana perked up. "The Sisterhood of Kaia is here?" Galen nodded, but that clearly made him far less happy than it made her.
"A small group camped out near Pioneer's Pass. 45 of them, including Arch-Matron Marlena. Some kind of foolhardy pacifist crusade to try to minimize casualties should a war erupt."
"Can we meet them?"
"Why would you want to?"
Galen began, and then I could see the exact moment when he figured out the answer to his question.
"Ah. Yes, perhaps, at some point, once everything's been settled."
No disrespect to Lyriana, but meeting up with her sisters was the least of my priorities. "Sorry, could we back up a bit?" I chimed in, turning to the others in the carriage. "My father's going to be out here with an army? Why? Wasn't his plan to lure the mages up to Castle Waverly?"
"Because of us,"
Miles said, and we all turned to stare at him.
"Think about it. He wanted to lure them to Castle Waverly by sending them on a mission to Zatochi Lands to avenge Roland and Lyriana. That made sense when no one knew the truth. But with us out here, somewhere in the province, every day the mages ride is a day we could warn them. Your father needs to ambush them as quickly as he can, as soon as they cross into the province."
"And he planned to do it in my damned castle,"
Galen grumbled, as if this were really the worst part.
"He sent me a whisper a week ago, demanding I arrange a banquet for all the highest-ranking mages, so he could personally offer his condolences. I knew from the start he was up to something, but I just assumed he was playing some kind of long game, maybe seeing if he could sow dissent in the ranks or curry favor with a future Archmagus. I never thought he'd be so brazen as to just kill them."
"All the highest-ranking mages in one room," Lyriana muttered. "The perfect place for an ambush."
"My mother has at least 20 mage-killer bombs. More, maybe, if she's been able to capture and torture any more mages with that Zatochi ritual. All she'd have to do is plant the remaining mage-killer bombs in the right places in your hall, and boom. The whole command taken out right there. Then Lord Kent attacks in the chaos with his 10,000 men."
Galen nodded.
"Strikes a crippling blow before the war's even started. I don't know what angers me more, the plan's brutality or its brilliance."
"Right, but that's all over now, isn't it?"
Jax asked.
"I mean, we'll ride out first, meet up with the mages, wave Lyriana at them, and then everything's good."
"That's out of the question,"
Galen replied.
"I might rule the lands of the pass, but many here would slit my throat in a heartbeat if Kent asked them to. His men watch the roads, the passes, even the smugglers' paths. If they see that you're alive and with the mages, they'll know we know. They'll retreat back to safety."
I blinked. I must have missed a step.
"Wait, what's wrong with them retreating? Isn't that what we want?"
Galen stared at me like I was a drooling idiot.
"No. What we want is to strike first and crush your father's men before they realize what's happened. If we're going to win this war, decisively, we need to ambush the ambushers."
Miles looked down uncomfortably, and Zell nodded. I turned to Lyriana for help.
I don't understand. I thought we were doing this to prevent a war.
Galen scoffed.
Lord Kent murdered the king's brother in cold blood. There's no preventing this war. What matters is making sure the right side wins.
That sure as hell wasn't what mattered to me, but I doubt Galen could have cared less. This was all moving fast, too fast. Was that what my role in this really was? The girl who helped Lightspire win? The girl who betrayed the West? In an instant, we'd crossed the point of no return, and I hadn't even realized we'd been at it.
Lord Kent is an incredibly cunning man, Miles cautioned, as if he were talking about some total stranger and not, you know, my father.
You shouldn't underestimate him.
Lord Reza smiled, and his smile was cold and terrifying.
He shouldn't underestimate me. Right, yeah. This all sounds great, win the war, rah-rah,
Jack said.
But what about us? Where are we in all this? Hidden away safely, of course. You are the living proof of Kent's treason. I can't let you come into harm's way.
The carriage stopped sharply. Galen laughed just a little.
And here we are. Couldn't have asked for better timing. Welcome to the nest.
He sat up and threw open the doors, letting bright sunlight flood in. We all stepped out, hands over our eyes. A cold gust of wind chilled me. The dirt underfoot crackled with frost. We must have been riding uphill, because we were much higher up than we'd been when we'd gotten in the carriage. A dense, untamed forest sprawled out behind us, trees just barely parting for a dirt road. In front of us sprawled a vast and imposing castle, with towering walls of ancient brick and an enormous redwood gate lined with iron beams. Barred windows loomed above the stony parapets, and dozens of watchtowers jutted up like spearheads from the walls. From a distance, it could have been Castle Waverly's twin. But where Castle Waverly was built on a woody hilltop near the coast, this castle appeared to have been built on the edge of the world itself. Behind the castle was no land or sea, but just the open sky, and the sound of the howling wind was almost too loud to talk over. Squinting against the sun, I could barely make sense of where we were, on a high, rocky peak near the start of the Frostkiss Mountains. The castle was built on the edge of a cliff, with a massive drop to certain and incredibly unpleasant death beyond it. I'd always known the nest overlooked Pioneer's Pass, but I'd never realized how literally. Oh, the nest. I got it now.
Okay, yeah. This place looks pretty safe,
Jack said. Miles bounced giddy, and Zell wouldn't meet my gaze. I needed to get him alone, to figure out what the hell our deal was. But this wasn't the time. It was never the time.
Thank you, Lord Reza, Lyriana said. Your kindness will be remembered and rewarded.
The only reward I need is Kent's head on a pike.
He glanced at me, and I realized his words were a test, a little prick to see how sharply I'd react. I put on my most stoic face, which probably looked like I had to sneeze. The heavy gate swung open, and a few men hurried out. Most were armored and armed castle guard, but one was tall and prim, with a neat beard, a perfectly fitted tunic, and a sour look on his face. A steward, if I'd ever seen one.
My lord,
he asked.
We have guests, Aramian,
Galen said.
Guests of great import. See that the northeast wing is cleared out for them, and made hospitable. I want clothes, food, sheets, all of it. Keep it discreet. Just head maiden Alana, Jezzeline, Kenna. No one else is to go in or out. And get 15 guardsmen, 5 on each door. I want no mistakes.
Of course,
the steward said, nodding.
And for you? Prepare the rookeries. I need to dispatch a whisper to the mages at once.
The steward nodded again.
As you wish.
Galen turned back to us. To Lyriana, really.
Don't worry, Your Majesty. Within an hour, the mages will know full well the threat that awaits them.
Does my cousin lead them? Lyrianna asked. Alarion. He nodded.
Indeed. With 2 days, we'll have more than enough time to prepare a counter-ambush. This will all be over soon, and you, and your friends, will be on your way to Lightspire.
What do we do until then? I asked. Galen smiled, and this time with genuine warmth.
You've had a hell of a journey, he said. Why don't you go and settle in?
I settled in. Oh, holy shit, did I ever settle in. The northeast wing turned out to be a tall, circular tower, packed dense with guest rooms, dining chambers, and luxurious foyers. And you'd better believe the first thing I did was take a bath. At the bottom of the tower was a cavernous bath chamber with a large stone pool, waist-deep and filled with crisp, clear water. It was shockingly, amazingly warm. Galen had had the base lined with special bricks from the Artificers Guild in Lightspire, thick red rocks that trapped the fire of mages and stayed hot for months on end. I floated in that pool for a good hour. I'd never realized just how much of a pleasure there was in getting clean, in scrubbing weeks of travel and grit and pain off myself, out of my hair, out from under my fingernails. Even weirder, I couldn't recognize my own body anymore. It wasn't just the bruises and the stitches. It was the muscle. My thighs were firm from all the hard riding. My arms had biceps, real biceps, like you'd see on those farmer women who came by Castle Waverly to hawk their goods. And my stomach, which had always been a little soft, had become hard and firm with for real abs. It was a stranger's body. I liked it. Then I got dressed. In clothes. Real, actual clothes designed for a girl, and one who was almost my size. Sure, the dress wasn't really my style. A little too frilly on the shoulders, and a dark blue I wouldn't normally wear. But who cared? I was just so happy not to be in the same torn, stained breeches that I would have taken a potato sack. We ate dinner together in the wing's biggest dining room, at a long wooden table with an actual tablecloth and silverware and everything. The food, though. The food. I'd never eaten Lightspire cuisine, and it turns out I've been missing out my whole life. The servants brought heaping trays of a spicy seasoned chicken stew and roasted potatoes in a creamy broth, and the thickest, juiciest beef I'd ever seen, topping it off with a sweet cream cake that dissolved on my tongue. It was, far and away, the best thing I'd ever eaten. And I wasn't just saying that because I'd been eating lanky rabbit and mushrooms for weeks. We all sat together around the table, and even though Miles warned us that we'd get sick, we all stuffed ourselves until our stomachs hurt, Miles included. I was nodding off halfway through the meal, and barely even standing by the time I got to the bedroom. I collapsed into the bed, with its fur blanket and goose feather pillows, and was somehow asleep before I even closed my eyes. I woke up just as night was falling, because my sleep schedule had become fully nocturnal. Jax was hanging out in my doorway wearing his new clothes, which were more formal and fancy than anything I'd ever seen him in, a gray tunic with gold trim on the shoulders, in the Heartlander style with the 2 rows of vertical buttons down the chest. He looked adorable.
Tilla,
he whispered, his face lit up by the dim glow of a sunstone.
Wake up! You gotta get out here!
Why, am I going to miss the masquerade ball? I pulled myself out of bed and stumbled toward him, rubbing my eyes with the back of my hand. What's going on?
Just follow me.
Jax led me away from the bedchambers, through the dining hall, and down the winding staircase to the bottom of the tower. A pair of heavy doors blocked our way to the great hall. I could make out the shadows of Galen's guardsmen on the other side. I started to ask what we were doing, but Jax raised a finger to shush me, and then turned his hand around to point at my feet. "What am I looking at?" I whispered. And then I saw it. Not my feet. Below them. A wide, hexagonal stone tile.
No way.
Jax just grinned, knelt down, and slowly and carefully lifted it up. Dust wafted out, stale and dry, and even in the dim light, I could see what lay beneath it. A tight, dark tunnel. I couldn't believe it, but I guess it made sense. The same architects had built both castles. Why wouldn't they have built the same secret passages as well? I looked to Jax, and now I was grinning.
"To the others now," I whispered.
"Follow me,"
he replied and hopped down. Before I could even consider whether this was a good idea, I was sliding down the hole onto a hard, dirt floor. We were in some tunnels, all right. Tight, unpleasant corridors lined with spiderwebs, dust, and broken tiles. And yet, amazingly, I felt like I was home. Jax led wordlessly, and I followed, after sliding the tile above us back into place. Even by the wavering light of the sunstone, I could tell these tunnels were a little different from the ones back in Castle Waverly. The ones there had been built into the natural caves below the castle, so they were wider, more earthy, with way more jagged roots and scary drops. These ones were clearly man-made, dug by some grizzled ancient Westerners in the days of the old kings. They were narrower, lined with bricks, with far fewer dead ends and actual stone ladders built into walls so you could climb out. While the tunnels in Castle Waverly were a tangled labyrinth, these seemed to closely match the layout of the nest itself. The narrow passageway under the northeast wing gave way to a wide, cavernous space that must have lain right under the great hall. A half-dozen smaller tunnels branched out from it, presumably leading to various parts of the castle.
"That one goes to a creepy dungeon,"
Jax explained.
"That one leads out into the forest through a hidden cave. That one goes right under the kitchens."
"Have you been down here for hours just mapping it?" Jax ignored my question.
"Let me show you my favorite one."
He took my hand and pulled me through the tunnel that led due west. We rounded a corner, and all at once, the dark passageway was flooded with moonlight.
"What?"
I said, before I realized where we were. The brick corridor led to an opening in the wall, which led to a natural rocky platform outside the tunnels into the fresh air. I stepped onto it carefully. Even though the platform was wide and smooth, its edge a good 15 feet away. We were outside the nest, I realized. Outside and below it, the platform a ledge jutting off of the cliff face. It hung like an outstretched tongue over a sheer, massive drop. But I didn't care, because I was transfixed by what lay beyond it. From this ledge, without the castle blocking me, I had an incredible view of the Frostkiss Mountains, their craggy white peaks looming above, seeming close enough to touch. I could see the trees dotting their porous surfaces, and even make out a few distant fuzzy shapes that I thought were mountain goats. But even better than all that was the sky overhead. Maybe the single most beautiful night sky I'd ever seen. There wasn't a cloud in sight. The moon was a perfect crescent sliver, and I swear I could see every single star shining above.
"Wow,"
I sighed.
"Talandra,"
Lyriana called out from nearby. I spun around to see her and Miles sprawled out on the platform by the tunnel's exit, with Zell standing on the edge looking out. I'd gotten so used to seeing us scruffy and worn out that my eyes had trouble with how clean and well-dressed everyone looked. Miles was back in a Heartlander tunic, the kind he always wore, and for once, it looked like it fit him. Zell was wearing a formal tunic like Jax's, but for some reason he had the highest 3 buttons undone, showing off the top of his chest, the curve of his collarbone. And Lyriana looked like a princess again, in a blue and ivory gown that fit as if it had been custom-tailored for her.
"Looks like I'm late to the party."
I walked over to the others and sat down next to them. I'd expected Zell and Miles, but I was comforted by the sight of Lyriana. A part of me had worried that, back in the trappings of a Heartlander castle, we'd lose her, that those old walls between the royals and the bastards would spring back up. But I had no reason to worry. She was one of us, now and forever.
"Oh, the party's just getting started."
Jax grinned, opened his knapsack, and pulled out a few bottles of red wine.
"Look what I stole from the cellars.
Oh, yes, please, I said. I hadn't had any wine since. What? The feast at Castle Waverly? A million years ago?
Not that I wouldn't like some wine, but is this really the best time?
Miles asked.
I mean, I don't want to be a downer, but Lord Kent's army could be just a day away. Maybe we should stay alert, be ready for action, that sort of thing.
Jax groaned, and I shot him a scowl. Look, Miles, I said, I'm never going to claim you're some kind of coward, not after that amazing stunt you pulled back in Bridgetown. But there's nothing we can do now. It's out of our hands. In 2 days, everything changes. In 2 days, we live with what we've done. In 2 days, we become whoever it is we become. I craned my head up to the night sky. A warm breeze blew over us, gently ruffling my hair. Was I talking to him or to myself? We have had the hardest, roughest month of our lives, and we've managed to overcome it. I don't know what will happen next, but I do know that tonight might be the only chance we have to just relax and be ourselves. I don't want to think about my father tonight. I don't want to worry about what's going to happen. I don't want to think about the West or Lightspire or the war. I just want to have fun with my friends. Miles said nothing for a moment, and I could see the gears turning in his head. Then he took the bottle from Jax's hand, pulled out the cork, and took a swig.
"What the hell?"
he said, beaming, his teeth already purple.
"Yeah!"
Jax slapped his palms together and uncorked another bottle.
"Oh, we should play a game. Drinking truths? Anyone up for drinking truths?"
"I'm in." I scooted to make a circle with the others. "Dare I even ask what drinking truths is?" Lyriana asked.
"It's really simple," I explained.
"We sit in a circle, one person asks a question, then we all have to answer totally honestly or take a drink." "But I do not drink alcohol."
"Then you're going to be sharing a lot of truths,"
Jax grinned. Zell walked over and took a seat between me and Jax. He was still acting like nothing had happened between us. Maybe that was for the best.
"What if I would like to both share a truth and also have a drink?"
Jax threw his arm around Zell's shoulders.
"I love this guy. Have I ever said how much I love this guy?"
There were many truths I wanted Zell to answer. I wanted to know what had happened in his past to make him so guarded. I wanted to know why he'd come all this way if he was just planning on abandoning us. I wanted to know what he really felt about me. But looking around at everyone's faces, I knew tonight wasn't about that. This was, just maybe, our last time together as a group, or, at the very least, as this specific group. That bond that we'd had by the cottage, as we'd held each other and buried that family, would soon change, become something else, maybe even fade away. Tonight was our chance to celebrate this group, to be the bastard table one last time.
"Okay, I'll start us off," Lyriana said. "What is everyone's favorite food?"
Jax blinked.
"That's not really... I mean, usually the questions are a little more..."
He sighed deeply.
"Peaches. I really love peaches."
The thing about drinking truths is that even though you're only supposed to drink when you're skipping a question, everyone just sort of drinks the whole time anyway. So by the time we'd gone a full round, learning that Jax had once made out with a 30-year-old minstrel and that Miles had never been skinny-dipping, I was already feeling a little bit drunk, that soft, gentle wine warmth glowing through me.
"Okay."
Jax took the bottle out of my hands.
"We've had our little warm-up round, but it's time for this game to get interesting."
"Uh-oh,"
Miles murmured.
"My question is, how many people have you slept with?"
I fought back a giggle.
"How many people have you slept with? Or can you not remember?"
"I can remember just fine, I'll have you know,"
Jack said, but took an obvious minute to count.
9. No, 10. 10. 11.
11? Lyriana gasped. 11 whole people?
"Well, I'd hope there were no partial people involved,"
Miles said, and Zell laughed.
"Well, you know, I mean, 11's not that many,"
Jack said, oddly bashful.
"I know guys who have slept with way more. 11's just, you know, A regular number.
He handed the bottle to Zell.
How about you? How many beautiful Zatochi girls have you bedded on a cave bear pelt?
One,
Zell said.
That's it? No details, no story?
Jax playfully pushed Zell's shoulder.
Come on, man, give us the goods!
The question was how many. I've answered that,
Zell replied, but he sounded amused, not annoyed. He passed me the bottle, making eye contact for just a second before looking away.
Your turn.
My turn, I said, and then, unexpectedly, froze up. The answer was zero. I was a virgin, and Jax, at least, knew that. It wasn't a big deal or anything, and it's not like there was some special reason. I just hadn't met the right guy. But for some reason, I suddenly felt self-conscious about it. Why? Because of Zell? I didn't know, and I didn't want to go into it, so I just tipped the bottle to my lips and took a big swig. A lady's got her secrets, I said, and passed it to Miles.
How about you? What's your number?
Miles glanced down at the bottle.
One.
That surprised me, and then I felt bad for being surprised. Jax obviously didn't.
For real, boy genius? Tell me more.
Miles shrugged. Her name was Elaine, daughter of one of the scholars in Port Hamels University.
I'd spent a lot of time in the library there, where the two of us ended up talking. One thing led to another, and we were, well, together for about 6 months.
What happened? I asked. Miles shrugged and looked right at me, his gray eyes so big and earnest I had to look away.
She wasn't the one, he said. Not for me.
Jax thankfully broke up the awkwardness.
Hey, we're talking about sex, not depressing breakups. Pass the bottle to the princess and let her answer the question.
Lyriana took the bottle, more symbolically than anything else.
The answer is zero, of course. I've never even kissed a boy.
We all turned to stare at her, even Zell.
Wait.
Really? I asked.
Well, yes,
Lyriana said, as if this was totally normal.
The nobility of Lightspire prizes purity, and chastity is a part of that. As the princess, it is doubly important for me to maintain that purity, to remain untouched and unsullied.
Come on,
Jax said.
You're bullshitting us. You've never hooked up with anyone, not even Lord Galen Hotpants.
Lyriana's eyebrow arched so hard it looked like it might pop off her head.
Of course not. House Reza is a far too low a station to marry with the Valeris. Besides, I believe Lord Reza prefers the company of men.
Really?
Miles asked.
That guy? Huh.
Can we go back to this whole no-kissing thing? I asked Lyriana. Is that like, forever? You never get to be with a guy?
No, of course not, she said. It is simply a vow until marriage. Once I am wed, I may give myself to my husband in every way.
I was still having a hard time wrapping my mind around this. Everyone knew they were more conservative out there in Lightspire, but I had no idea it went so far.
Aren't you worried? I asked. What if your husband is a terrible kisser? What if you guys don't match in the bedroom? What if it turns out you like girls? How would you know?
Lyriana shot me a polite smile, the kind I'm sure she flashed in the court.
I'm reasonably confident I like men, Talandra, she said. And I know our customs might seem conservative or strange to you, but you have to understand, they hold real meaning to me. It's not just about my vows or about securing the best possible suitor, it's something I just believe in. For myself.
How?
Think of it this way, she sighed. When you get married, and you kiss your husband on your wedding day, it'll be just another kiss for you. It will probably be the 1,000th time you've kissed him. The only thing different, the only thing special, is the day that you're doing it on.
She looked away, and I could tell this was something she'd thought about a lot.
But for me, it'll be different. When I kiss my husband for the first time, It'll be the culmination of years and years of yearning. It'll be a moment I have dreamed about and wanted so badly for my whole life. Something I have craved but never experienced. Not until then. Not until him. And he'll know it, and I'll know it, and we'll share that knowledge, and it will make that moment between us so much more special and meaningful. It'll be the greatest gift we can offer each other. She gave a guilty smile. I'm human, just like you. I want to be kissed, to be touched, to be held. But that's why I keep my vow of purity. For that moment.
I had no way to respond to that.
This guy you'll get married to, Jack said. He'll probably be some hoity-toity Lightspire noble, right? Not someone you choose on your own.
Almost certainly, Lyriana said. Was that a hint of sadness in her voice? In Lightspire, marriage is a matter of politics and power, not love.
Have you ever been in love? I asked. Lyriana turned to me, and now she had no reply. She sat there for a moment, deliberating what to say, and then, with the most adorably naughty smile, put the bottle to her lips and took a sip.
Oh! Jax yelled, and I couldn't help but clap. This is totally happening. We're getting the princess drunk.
You most certainly are not, Lyriana said, but she was smiling. Tell anyone of this, anyone at all, and I swear I will take back every nice thing I promised you.
The game went on, and it was great. Lyriana told us about her childhood crush on her father's captain of the guard. Miles rambled on about his first kiss with Elaine, and Zell talked about how guys in his clan often wrestled in the nude, which, okay, come on. Soon enough, we'd forgotten the game entirely and were just drinking and talking and trying to make each other crack up. We polished off most of the bottles and took turns singing. I belted out Lady Doxley's Garland. Lyriana beautifully serenaded us with The Cant of the Titans, and we all danced around while Zell drummed on the stones and sang this rousing Zatochi drinking song. When he was done, Lyriana threw her arms around me and Jax, and her cheeks were warm and flushed.
You're my best friends, she giggled, totally tipsy. My very, very best friends.
As fun as it was, the night eventually wound down. Miles was the first casualty, puking off the cliff face before stumbling back to his room. Lyriana excused herself, leaving for the bathroom and never coming back. And Zell simply vanished at some point. In the end, Jax and I sat alone on the platform's edge, gazing down at the valley below the cliffs, at the beautiful sky above. It reminded me of how we'd sat in Castle Waverly, waiting for the royal procession to arrive. No idea what was in store for us.
Can I tell you something?
Jax abruptly mumbled. He had that groggy tone, the one he always had when he was half drunk and half sleepy, sentimental and prone to babbling secrets.
I know the truth. I know why you did this. I know why. Why you're here at all.
What are you talking about? I asked, and I actually felt kind of sober, except for the way the whole world was bobbing up and down.
You could have gone back to your father. You could have been his daughter. You could have had it all.
His voice trembled just a little. I could see tears in his eyes.
He did this for me, because you knew he'd have me killed no matter what.
Jax. He dabbed at his eyes and shook his head, and when he looked back up, he had that same goofy grin he always had, the one I loved so damn much.
It's okay. I'd do the same for you, in a heartbeat.
He turned away, looking out at the glorious vista below.
We never did get to toast Mom's memory, did we?
Nope. He lifted an almost empty wine bottle to the sky.
Here's to her.
I leaned over and gave him a hug, resting my head on his shoulder. Here's to us. He smiled, and I smiled, and we sat there like that for a while, before wandering back up to our rooms. Chapter 24 I couldn't sleep, naturally. Maybe it was the fact that I was still a little drunk. Maybe it was my messed-up sleep schedule. Maybe it was the fact that I couldn't stop thinking about Zell. Either way, I lay in my bed, staring up at the stone ceiling for a good hour before deciding that if I was going to be awake, I might as well make the most of it. I wanted to hit that bath again. Galen had given each of